Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Brandon Barash, and thank you for listening to Stardish Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Stardish Radio on the Blog Talk Network. Today is May 14th, 2009. I'm your host, Joanne. Thank you guys for coming back. We have a really big show tonight. I'm sure you all are very excited. The fabulous Megan Ward is coming back on, and it's been a long time waiting, but she made it. Guests in the chat room, the ones that are logged in as guests, go and register with Blog Talk Radio now, and it only takes a minute. That's the only way you'll be able to participate in the chat room. If it just says guest, you can't chat with us. So, and that's like the best part, of course, besides talking to Megan. So make sure you guys go ahead in and do that. Let's see. Monday, Brooke Newton from Fox's new show, Glee, will be with me at 10 p.m., so make sure you come by and check that out. Also, the Emmys were out today, and I know everybody's disappointed. General Hospital really didn't get a lot of Emmys, and, you know, it's just one of those things. I don't know what it is. Look, it's the Emmys, you know, and congratulations to all my children. We have to say that. Supposedly worst written soaps, it's actually been nominated. So I guess bringing Charles Pratt, formerly from General Hospital, over to that end of the spectrum did them some justice. So just bear with me. We're having a few little technical difficulties, and Megan is running a couple minutes late. So just hang on 1 second. To log in, because I keep getting kicked off. Nothing. This is yours? All righty. Time Warner hasn't been very kind to me over the last couple of days as far as the internet goes, so just hang on a second. Chat amongst yourselves, people. Did anybody go sign up for Rock the Soap 2? It was a great time. I know, Rodney, you're in the chat room. Tell everybody how great it was. We had a blast. All right, let's see here. I'm getting it back up. I don't know what the problem is. All right, here we go, here we go. All right, we're back online, people. Back online. So, yeah, so Megan is going to be a couple minutes late. You know, that's part of being a mom and doing her thing. And we have almost the entire Megan Haven board in okay, if you guys can't hear, you need to either click on the play button, you need to refresh, you may have to rock the soap, Rodney. You may have to clear the cookies in your browser and make sure that you have your, the Adobe Flash Player. Make sure you have the latest Adobe Flash Player downloaded. It's right there on the page, the play button. It says share, play. Hey, Courtney. Yes, if you can do it, go on Rock the Soap. It is the best. And you know what? Rick Hurst is actually coming on board with us this year. So that's going to be fun. That will definitely be fun. Oh, my goodness. You know, I thought I told you all people not to call in until you heard Megan. I'm not Megan. But yet you all still continue to call in. So what's going on with that? Hello. All right. Well, hang on. Yes, Rodney and I got married on Rock the Soap. We had a great time. It is sad that Rick is leaving General Hospital, but you know what? General Hospital has a mind of its own these days, and you know what? We just got to move with the flow. So, that's right. Okay, let's do the rules. The rules for tonight's chat and tonight's questions. You're only allowed one question per person, honest to God, because there's so many people that have never had a chance to talk to Megan or meet Megan, and we want to absolutely give everyone a possible chance to do that. So let's be considerate of everyone. Behave. No arguing in the chat room, no crying or any of that nonsense, because I know a lot of you. Megan is very good to her fans, and I know she comes over and she chats with you on the board and she does all that stuff. So let's definitely give the newbies a shot at it, okay? Remember your name when I pick you up. Try not to stutter. Keep the questions to one per person, okay? One per person. There's no reason to be shy or nervous to call in because Megan does not bite. Yes, my buddy Linda's in the chat room, and she's going to monitor the chat. So if you have any questions, make sure you contact Linda. Linda MC, you see her right there in the pink. She'll handle the business and in the chat room. And Rodney, you're going to love Linda. She's coming on Rock the Soap with us next April. So you'll definitely like that. Let's see. Again, back to the Emmys. Congratulations to all my children. Kirsten Storms got Best Supporting Actress, so that's something for GH. And Bradford Anderson got Best Supporting Actor. So kudos to them for that. Let's see. Who else is on this phone that I told not to call in that keeps calling in? Because if you prevent Megan from calling in, all you're going to do is listen to me all night. So you guys have plenty of time to save for Rock the Soap. It's not until next April. We don't know what's going on with Megan's character, but you know what? We'll find out once we get her on the phone and be respectful. Don't get personal. Do the right thing. No one call in until you hear Megan call in, okay? That's the rules. No, don't call yet. I told you don't call until Megan is on the phone. Okay, that's what we're waiting for. Okay, not like this lady needs an introduction, but I'm going to give her one anyway. A veteran in the cutthroat world of primetime television for over 15 years with starring stints in such acclaimed series as Class of 96, Party of Five, Melrose Place, and Boomtown. She stumbled into the role of a lifetime in the least likely place, a daytime soap, in 2007, and in the process garnered a whole new network of staunchly devoted fans as a street gal, Connie Falconeri, who grew up to be feared fashionista Kate Howard on General Hospital. She became an instant viewer favorite when she was paired with the legendary Maurice Bernard. And though Sunny and Kate broke off their engagement late last year, none of the couple's fans have given up hope that the characters will find their way back to each other. And she's making a return visit to Stardish tonight to talk about her time on the show and to discuss her upcoming storyline. So please give a warm Stardish Radio welcome to the lovely and terrific Megan Ward. Welcome back, girl.
Oh, my God, was that all for me?
Yeah.
That was a fantastic introduction. Thank you.
You're welcome. Welcome back, honey. It's been a long time.
I know. I'm sorry it's taken so long. I've been a little busy over the last 8 months, and I finally had some time to come and see you again or talk to you again.
It is absolutely welcomed. I'm so, so happy that you were able to do it. And most of all, your Megan fans are going absolutely crazy right now. We all know how they crashed everything the last time, so.
I know. Are you ready for that?
Listen to me, though. In the last 8 months, I've grown and I've learned to wrangle them a little bit better, and I already set down the rules.
Okay.
The rules. And all they keep telling me is, oh, my God, Joanne, you sound so much like Megan, because I keep telling them to behave. And they're like, oh, my God, that's what she tells us. I said, well, that's what you need to do then, behave.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. It's like wrangling up the children, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm learning how to do that now with my 8-year-old and almost 3-year-old. That's what you got to do.
This
sometimes you got to keep them in line.
I got it with my 8-year-old and my 16-year-old, so I know. So.
Oh, my gosh. Like, don't even talk to me about teenage years. I'm not ready.
No, you're not. Trust me. You're not. That's an off-air discussion.
Yeah, okay. To be continued.
So, exactly. All right. Well, look, I mean, a lot has gone on in the past eight months, and let's just get to the elephant in the room. What's going on with Kate? I mean, honestly, there's so much. I mean, from my point of view, it's extremely disappointing with what they did with your character. They brought you on as this big bang, and I mean, you came on with such a force to be reckoned with. And they attempted to give you a backstory by bringing on Olivia, and now, fast forward, Olivia is like your arch enemy's best friend.
Sonny's
like nowhere to be found, and Kate is always coming off the elevator yelling at Maxie. What are they doing to her?
I don't know. That's a really good question. I'm sort of forced to ask that question myself because the nature of the way that the show works, you know, this whole job has really been just one giant learning curve. And as soon as I think I understand how it works, the rules change on me. So, you know, did you hear that?
No, I missed that.
Are you there?
What was that?
Oh, that's weird. I just had an automated message come through.
That's because they're killing the switchboard. Go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, I really don't know what they have in store for Kate because that's not their style of management. You know, I think that there are a few people who get a little bit of an indication of a stretch of a storyline or what the plans are. But even when that information comes in, it still changes.
Right.
So, you know, all I can really speak to is literally what I'm doing this week. You know, that's all the information I have. And, you know, what's happened since I started the show, and this is, you know, I think there's, you know, what's amazing about soap fans and about this internet community is that people, you know, they spend a lot of time speculating about what's going on in the show and how the show is made and how decisions are made and the values of characters or actors. And sometimes they're right and sometimes they're not. Since I kind of came in at this magical moment where the old ways still existed as far as casting and contracts and story plotting. And during the course of the 2 years that I've been there, everything has really changed structurally about how all daytime television is produced. And this is stuff that people don't really know. And, you know, it does contribute to the show that they're doing, but it's not very, it's not sexy, you know, the way it goes down. But soaps have been hit really hard economically. And every single show has been forced to tighten their belts. And it's really changed the way that the shows are written, about how many characters can be in a single episode. Actors' guarantees have been cut, actors' pay has been cut, actors have been cut altogether. And this is across the board, not just at GH. And from the time that I started, you know, I was only supposed to be on the show for less than a year. So the initial concept of the character had an end, which didn't happen. Because I think the character was successful, but also because during the course of the time there was a writer's strike, you know, things changed. You know, there were things that changed the playing field for the end of the Kate story. So that meant I ended up staying twice as long as I was intended to. And in fact, mm-hmm. I'm, you know, and it's still going on. But I also think that there were no long-reaching strategies for the character. So that's part of the reason I think the character has somewhat stalled. That's part of the reason. But, you know, Kate's still there. I mean, I was supposed to die like 4 times, and I didn't.
Yeah, right,
so,
exactly.
You know, so Kate's still there. I mean, she's still there. And I'm very happy that she's still there. You know, I started off by explaining how this has really been a big learning curve. And, you know, everything about my expectations about this character and this environment and this job have been completely the opposite of what I thought they would be. You know, I thought it would be easy. It's not. It's really, really hard to be good. It's really, really hard to be good. I thought I would be bored with going to the same place every day. I wasn't at all, you know. I thought I would be ready to move on very early, and I wasn't. You know, I like the character of Kate very much, and I like the work environment of GH. And I think what my frustrations are right now as an actor is Kate has so much potential. There is so much foundation for her. And I was able to flesh out so much of what they gave me just on the page. It feels like Kate, there's so much more to Kate still to be discovered. And
right.
as an actor, I'd like to still explore that. That being said, the environment has to be there for it. You know, there has to be a story for her, and there has to be something interesting to play.
Right.
And I think, again, the way that the show is written now is it's more of a simplified show. The stories mm-hmm. are smaller, and there are less characters involved, and there are less characters that have a point of view, that have their own story going on. It's like there will be individual stories and a few characters involved in that story, but not every single character has an arc. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Every character contributes to the plot point, and
right.
the individual characters don't necessarily. I mean, what's frustrating to me about this Kate story right now, which, look, I'm, you know, Kate's come full circle from where she first came in. She's back to exactly who she was. Which
right.
is all business, all ambition, no time for emotion, no time, you know, for any sort of real life. It is all bare bones, get the job done. She's stuck in her business world, you know, stuck in her world of the magazine. And, I, you know, I'm sad for Kate that that's her way, but it's interesting that she has come full circle. And I have, you know, I think that could be very exciting to play that angle of the character and find out what she's really like in super business mode. What's frustrating for me as an actor is you really only see the other character's perspective of Kate in those situations versus Kate's perspective in that situation.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does.
It's one-sided. And that's the thing that frustrates me as an actor is that it's from somebody else's point of view that is a particular opinion. It's not who Kate is, why a person acts that way, and what motivates them to act that way, and why that might be okay. You know what I mean?
Right.
Why,
right.
you know, there are lots of very, very successful people in the world, you know, who have to behave in a particular way in order to achieve that success. And,
right.
you know, there's story there. But at the moment, that's not being told.
Right. And, okay, I'm just going to give you my, like, honesty for the last, I don't know, maybe about 2 months. I fast forward through General Hospital so much that I really don't even know what goes on day by day anymore. I mean, which is sad for me as a viewer because I've been watching it for so long, you know, and it's just like, God, I was kind of happy when General Hospital didn't get nominated today for an outstanding drama series. Because to me, and I'm going to quote John Ingle, because John Ingle, I had him on the show last year when the Emmys came out. He was extremely disappointed that it won. And because he feels that if, and I feel the same way, and I know a lot of other people do, that maybe you know, it'll force the hand to change and be like, okay,
yeah.
Look, now we have to look at things. People are getting mad. People are getting tired of the mob. Not saying that the mob wasn't always a part of General Hospital. It was, but it was never in center the way that it is now. You know, and it would be great to explore Kate in the business world and show a different side, you know what I mean, and not always getting shot. I mean, for crying out loud, between you and between Kate and Sam, how many times are you going to get shot? No, I mean, you're going to have to get in the hospital.
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. And, you know, I think, you know, what you've expressed that, you know, I've heard from a lot of people, and I think the show has just gotten very dark, too,
mm-hmm.
and I think that, you know, those are the themes that the show is exploring right now, is the darkness mm-hmm. of practically every character, and it's painful to watch at times, because we don't always want to see the negative aspects of characters or only the sad and limited parts of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's plenty of entertainment, plenty of storytelling that revolves around those dark places. But
mm-hmm.
I do think it does get, you know, as an actor, it's difficult to always play Kate as being firm and mean and cold and dismissive, even though those are certainly qualities she can possess,
mm-hmm.
For better or worse. But when they're the exclusive qualities that she's showing, it's, you know, it's not that much fun, to be perfectly
honest.
Right. You know, and I can, you know, and I would feel the same way watching that, you know, every
mm-hmm.
day. So, you know, I hope for the show to access more light moments or, you know, the hopeful qualities of characters and the rootable qualities of characters. And
mm-hmm.
that's what I consistently have struggled to do with Kate, is to always find those colors within the black and white scenes. You know, there's only so much time to shoot the show. I mean, it's remarkably fast. I'm still, even though I have a muscle memory for it now and I'm accustomed to doing it quickly, you can only tell so much story when you take five scenes to do five minutes to do a five-page scene. You know, you just
don't
have so many colors you can put in into the scene. It's very, very black and white.
Right.
And, you know, that's part of the issue that daytime has, is to, you know, there used to be more time to color it in, you know.
Right.
And so a lot of times when people compare to the old storytelling, which I think they have, you know, a very, very, you know, appropriate points to make about the difference between maybe 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
there are a lot of things different about the production that contribute to why the show maybe feels less like they remember it, you know?
Right.
So, you know, that's my struggle, is to always fill in the flip side. And what Kate's going through right now, you know, there is more to the story, you know?
Right.
So, you know, there is a bit of a mystery going on that we'll uncover. But even I don't know what's going to happen. I just know, you know, a little bit about, you know, that she's concealing stuff. So, you know, I was asked, you know, to portray Kate as being, you know, very cold and dismissive to the kids because that's how they perceive her. But in truth,
right.
she's hiding that she's being blackmailed. So,
right.
you know, they don't know that. And so their
right.
perception of her is that she's mean boss lady. But in truth, you know, Kate made choices to stay in Port Charles for Sunny that
right.
may come back to bite her, basically.
Right.
So, you know, that could be, you know, I'm hoping that it turns out to be what it promises to be in an exciting story.
Well, I hope so, because, you know, I mean, it's like almost like I crave for that storyline back, you know, just for something to sink your teeth into. And, you know, I don't want to have to turn the TV on Friday and a Monday to know what's going on and not have to watch the rest of the week and get stuck
yeah.
watching Judge Mathis or, you know, Christina's Court instead because it's
oh,
more interesting. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
and I'm sorry.
Listen,
I understand.
You have nothing
sorry.
To apologize for. It has nothing to do with you because you do what you do. I mean, you do your damn thing, and you do it well. nobody's taking that away from you. It is what it is, and we just want it to change. And I hope the fact that they did not get that Emmy nomination today does bring about that change. And I hope the character goes the way that you want it to go, because you know, Kate, you originated her. You know what she wants to do. So move forward with that. That's what everybody wants.
Well, I'm standing by, hoping that it comes down the pike. I'm really hoping that the story comes down, and you know, I'm not going to give up. You know, so every script they put me in, I'm going to do my best to make it interesting, and you know, hope that the focus moves around, you know, the board and not just, you know, in one area the whole time. So we'll see.
Right. All right, darling. Well, I'm going to go to the phones here because you got some anxious people.
Oh my
okay.
goodness.
Yes. Well, you know, good and well, we are not getting through all these other people. So, I mean, through everybody. And they all know that. I already warned them. So we are going now to, this is a member of the Megan Haven board, and this is Vanessa. She's a newbie. She's never gotten to meet you, and she's never gotten to speak with you. So, Vanessa, say hi to Megan.
Hello.
Hi, Skedaddle.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you can thank Sarah for that one. So actually, I'm going to get right to the point because I know a lot of people want to call. So, and this is actually a question Sarah had as well. What do you think it is about you and your work that attracted such a loyal following? Because it is amazing how many people love you and support you. So we were just wondering about that.
Oh, well, Vanessa, you know, I have to say one of the best things about having taken this job was this exposure to an amazing, amazing fan base and a viewing audience who really participates, holds my hand, you know, through the storylines. And I don't know why, but I do think, you know, as a performer, I really do try to humanize the characters that I portray. And I think that Kate is a very complex character who we've seen from one extreme to the other. And who almost anybody can identify with at some point in her journey. And, you know, that's what I hope to tell with her. And I think maybe that's why people latch on to her, because they'll recognize something in them at some point, you know, of her journey. But
yeah.
I don't know. I just hope no one goes away, even if Kate's not on very much. That's all I hope for.
Oh, are you kidding? I mean, people would follow you no matter what, and that's not a lie, so...
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for taking the call. I appreciate
it. It's nice to talk to you.
Thanks, Vanessa.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, we have another Vanessa. Vanessa Sanchez.
I'm a snacker.
Hi to Megan.
Hello, Megan.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you? Hi, Joe.
Hi, honey.
My friend Becky's on the line as well.
Hi, Megan.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Becky.
Hi.
Oh, two for one.
Thanks for taking the time to call in, Megan. We really, really appreciate it. And,
sure. I'm sorry it took so long. I wanted to do it a while ago, but I just didn't have the time.
Better late than never. You actually answered my question. I wanted to know your take on everything going on with your character on the show. It's been disturbing and disappointing because we really, really, really love you on the show, and we really want you to stay. Is there any truth to the rumor flying around that Kate is leaving the show? I mean, I'm pretty bad at
it. You know, I have not made any plans to leave the show. You know, as I was sort of hinting at before, you know, the way that they produce the show is different now.
Mm-hmm.
The expectations that fans could base on actors' contracts are really, they just don't apply. You
mm-hmm.
know, even if a character is on contract,
mm-hmm.
you know, many actors have been cut in their guarantee of how many shows they've been in. You know, mm-hmm. actors get cut from their contracts regardless how long they are.
That's a very
good example. So, you know, exactly. And
yeah.
So even though it's true that, you know, I've gone down to recur status, as
mm-hmm.
it's been
mm-hmm.
reported,
right.
You know, my contract simply expired and they
mm-hmm.
didn't renew it, which
mm-hmm.
is such an economic decision. You
right.
know, I mean, the concern that any actor would have is that they're not obligated to write for you, will they?
Right.
Obviously. But it's sort of a moot point because
mm-hmm.
the guarantees really don't apply.
Mm-hmm.
It is their prerogative to cut an actor regardless of the contract they make with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're all really honestly just struggling to hold on to our jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, anytime I start to feel sorry for myself that I don't have as many shows as I had a year ago, mm-hmm. you know, at least I still have a job.
Right.
And that's really a practical answer. You know, it's not very, you know, flashy, but it's, you know, it's the state of the world today.
Right.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think soaps are doing what every show is taking a strategy to try to keep it on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many opinions about what that formula should be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only up to a few people to make that decision, and we all live with it. So, you know, at the moment I haven't made any plans to leave.
Great.
But that being said, you know, I don't know what their long-term strategy is for Kate. I just know they could have gotten rid of me at any point, and they haven't yet. So, you know, Kate is still part of the canvas.
Yeah. So
right.
practically speaking, what can your fans do to have their voices heard?
If I only knew. You know,
Megan,
honestly,
maybe I can help you with that, Megan. I think I can help with that one, Megan.
Yeah.
Vanessa, what you need to do is go over to the Megan Haven board. Go meganhaven.com,
mm-hmm.
and on there you're gonna find
the
General
line.
Hospital comment line.
Right.
You're gonna find all the information
yeah.
to write in. And I'll tell you right now, the best way to do it. It's snail mail because it's physical. It's in their face. It can't
mm-hmm.
be deleted.
Yeah.
And get your point across.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think also you need to go to the top. You know, I just think that the people making the decisions are at the very top.
Mm-hmm.
And
ooh,
it all comes down from there.
Those names and everything are on that board. So go to meganhaven.com, okay?
Thank you, Megan.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Thanks, Joe. Bye, girls.
Bye. Bye, good night.
Yes, the Megan Haven board, I have to say, is extremely informational. So anybody that wants to write in and to the powers that be, all the information is there. So make sure you go sign up on that board. There's some crazy people over there. They're crazy, but they're good.
They're crazy.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have another newbie here for you. This is Christina. Christina, say hi to Megan.
Hello.
Hi, Christina.
Hi, Megan.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
I had a question about, like, whether you thought Olivia was really a necessary part of, like, Kate's story. Like, I love the part that she's from Bensoners because I am. That's really cool. So I just wanted to know if you thought that was a necessary part to bring Olivia on.
That's a very loaded question, Christina.
Yeah.
You know, how do I answer this question? You know, like I was saying, how a lot of things changed from the time that I started and now. You know, Olivia was a plot point written during the strike that was going to be a mystery for why Kate didn't want to marry Sonny and what she's been concealing and what why she is who she is. And it turned out to be her cousin.
Uh-huh.
Which, you know, when it happened all throughout the wedding, you know, it was a very complex and interesting story point, I thought, because how does one reconcile those choices made 20 years ago that they regret? You know, do they pity themselves and feel sorry for themselves or punish those people, or do they take responsibility for them? You know,
mm-hmm.
and there were some really interesting moments in those early scenes with Kate and Olivia where they were basically irreconcilable. They were two different philosophical points of view. And that's sort of a point of family, you know, and it's an interesting point. What I'm disappointed with is that it ended, essentially, that it was two polarizing viewpoints and they don't continue to reach for an understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And what's frustrating too is that history has changed as well, from what was said at one point to what's been said now about what those days were like when they were teenagers. And also, you know, all of the accusations and characterizations that Olivia had for Kate, she's now possessing herself. So, and there's no conversation about that. you know, and I wish that there was, because it's not, I don't have any problem that it exists. I just wish the story would be further explained and investigated, because that is a human experience, you know, cousins who were like sisters, and their differences and their similarities, and how they get along and don't get along. So, you know, whether I can't say whether, you know, she should be on the show, whether the character should be there or not. You know, I just wish there were more opportunities to explore their relationship.
Right. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. I don't think I quite answered it the way she wanted to, but
you did. Fine. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. It's funny because, I mean, really, you know, I think people are expecting you to say, like, no, I don't want her on the show. But, you
right.
know, of course, you know, they have reasons for doing it, and I think originally it was a good reason, you know. And however it's turning out now, we'll just have to see where it lands, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. You and, know? You know, I really like Lisa, and we enjoy working together, and, you know, we'll see, exactly, we'll see what they do with it.
I mean, they had to give Kate family, you know, they had to give
mm-hmm.
her roots. The fact that they planted something is a good thing, you know, so we'll just see where it goes from there.
Yeah.
Next caller is Rachel. She's another newbie for you from your board. Rachel, say hi.
Hi, Megan.
Hi, Rachel. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's your question?
Actually, I just wanted to know if there's any question that you've been dying to answer that we've been too oblivious to ask you.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I can't answer that question. let's see. I don't know. I had to get dinner. And No, I'm here to answer anything you guys want to know. I'm relatively an
within
open book.
Within reason.
Within reason. I'll do my best
Healthy.
To answer it. It's,
Behave.
You know, it's even though I've been an actor forever and I've done all kinds of different forms of medium, I've never had such a tangible role where people have the ability to comment on my character, the way that I look, the way that I perform, and so immediately, and have this public water cooler conversation about me and about my performance and about my, you know, and about things that I don't have control over. And so, you know, when the soap magazines write about, you know, the character, speculate about the character, have opinions about the character, or blogs have opinions about the character, it's a strange feeling to feel like you're in possession of the character, but in essence, we're really not. None of us actors really are. I mean, it's our job to just get that script and justify it the best way we can in the 5 minutes we have, you know. And where they go, you know, there probably was a day when actors had more control over their storyline, and certainly a few choice actors would still have control over their storyline, but for the most part, we all just hope we have a storyline. So, you know, it's a strange thing to live the character, to live the character and justify the character and make them believable. But sometimes those things you have to justify as an actor, you would never choose for them to have to live. So, you know, there's this conversation going on without you, and you want to participate in it, but you can't. There's nothing you can really do, you know. So, you know, sure, you know, there are times when I've read things or heard things about my character that I want to protest or, you know, stomp my feet about, but that's what you get when you sign on for the job, you know.
Yeah.
Did that answer your question?
No, I did. You just said, like, I wanted you guys to all ask me what my favorite hamburger is at Burger King, and that would have been for me, so.
Well, my
okay.
favorite fast food is In-N-Out, and I like milkshakes, and I don't know.
All right, well, we know that now, okay?
Thank
so thank you very much, honey.
All right, thanks.
Okay, bye. All right, listen. This is a question, an emailed question from Tony from Chicago.
Okay.
First off, happy belated Mother's Day to you, Megan.
Aww,
second,
thanks.
My question is, of all the mom actresses on GH besides yourself, who do you think is the super mom among you?
Oh, I don't know. That's hard. You know, the way that we take the show, we really only see the people we're working with.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know all the actors as personally as you would think. You know, we all don't really know each other as well as we could in a different kind of working environment. But,
right.
You know, there are so many different moms. And actually, I was having a conversation with Becky just the other day about, you know, managing our modern female lives of being working moms and having to switch our hats, you know, from one to the other and how complicated it is and how challenging it is. And it was nice. It was nice to talk to her. We hadn't spoken about that before because we don't really see each other very much. And
mm-hmm.
And it was nice to hear, you know, that it was hard for her too. You know, I mean, sometimes she'd come in with her little daughter. You know, she's so cute. And that's a nice thing about the set is that people do bring their children sometimes when they have short amount of scenes, a short day or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it is such a perfect lifestyle for mothers, especially because you're able to have this real job, but the time management isn't as difficult as, say, doing a series in Canada, you know, or doing an episodic series where you can be gone from the home for 16 hours a day, and that's just not okay. I mean, I had a series called Dark Skies years ago where I worked 80-hour weeks, and I was married, but no children, and I could never do a job like that right now
mm-hmm.
because the trade-off wouldn't be worth it to me.
Right.
To never see my family and to just not be raising my children.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I think every mom on the show has a different lifestyle, but all, you know, Nancy is phenomenal. I mean, she's a single mother and she's so devoted to her daughter and. We talk about being mom. We talk about being moms, and you know, all of the ladies on the show, you know, seem to have a very similar value for having a job that they can be with their kids too.
Right. Okay, Tony. I know you probably listening to it, so there's your answer. Now, I had questions from no specific questions, but general questions about. Santa Barbara from Brandon, and he wanted
uh-huh.
to know, like, who was your favorite person to work with, your favorite storyline, that kind of thing. So if you want to just touch on that for a minute, because he wasn't able to join us tonight in the chat, so he'll be downloading this at a later time.
Sure. Okay. Well, Brandon, you know, every actor and every storyline has really presented a different experience. You know, I mean, clearly the most important one, I guess, because of the commitment and the time was the storyline with Sonny, with Maurice. And I feel very, very fortunate to have my first daytime experience with a man like Maurice because he believed in me from the get-go. He respected me from the get-go. And he really helped me to acclimate in a very foreign environment, and I felt safe with him. Because it's really scary to do your work that quickly and to let it go, you know, and say, okay, that's
right.
it. But, you know, I mean, it's just not comfortable to do it so quickly when you're not accustomed to it. And he so believed in me and believed in the storyline, and so, you know, I needed that. I'm a confident actor, but at the same time, I need validation, like anybody does. And
mm-hmm.
and he was really there for me to help me do that, to get through that time, and made it possible for me to not give up on striving for quality and depth to my character and to our story, when it could have been easy to just say, well, that's all I want. That's all the work I'm going to do because it's just too hard to work anymore. And, you know, he always encouraged me never to give up on how I wanted it to be or how it should be or how it could be. But then I also, you know, I love working with Nancy and Carolyn. I just love, you know, the crazy ladies and having those kinds of fun scenes and working with the kids. I mean, they're adorable. They're professional and they have a lot of enthusiasm and energy. Even though I feel really old when I work with them,
right?
You know, everyone I've worked with on the show has been a pleasure. It's really, you know, each has presented its own set of challenges and I've been satisfied with all of the people I've worked with.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll move on. I want to try and get some of the email questions out because we only got 15 minutes left.
Oh my God,
I know, right? Can you imagine? let's see, Marty from Rochester. I absolutely loved you in Boomtown and was so disappointed when it was canceled before it was even given a chance. Lately, this has become the norm with the best shows rarely making it past one season and being replaced with low-quality reality shows. This has to be frustrating for you as an actor. I was wondering if you would be willing to comment on the state of the network television these days and where this will all lead in maybe 5 years. Will we all be watching pay stations like HBO or the Sci-Fi Channel just to see something with professional actors? Thanks, Megan. Marty from Rochester.
Yeah, well, Marty, you know, it is disheartening for actors. It's especially right now, it's very frustrating because there's been very little production for the last few years in general. Movies have gone down, the studios are making less films than they used to, networks are making less shows than they used to, and, you know, that is my track record, is the failed single, you know, freshman year of a show. And I'm fortunate that I've been able to have so many series and pilots and new opportunities, but the bar of expectation is very different now than it used to be. You know, years ago when they made a show, the viewership was obviously higher, but they gave shows more time to establish an audience. You know, Seinfeld is the quintessential story, which was that it was terribly low in the ratings, and it would have been canceled if Warren Littlefield hadn't believed in it and kept it on the air, and it is now one of the best all-time shows ever produced. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, the networks, it's really become more of a business than ever. Every year it gets worse and worse, where the expectations are they have to have these high numbers. And part of it's interesting that there's such a disparity between the quality shows and the reality shows, because there are these really high concept, beautifully made television shows that cost a lot of money, and they don't stay on the air because they are too expensive and they can't generate the ad revenue to keep them going. Mm-hmm. But those have become the expectations of the viewers. And so then they're replaced with, you know, the absolute opposite, which is, you know, cheap reality television. And listen, I watch reality TV. You know, I can't,
right.
I can't be a hypocrite. You know, I enjoy some of the, you know, American Idol is my all-time favorite shows. And, and it generates huge numbers and huge money for the network. But it's, I don't know where we're going to go. And it's very frustrating because it feels like as an actor, it's no longer about the quality of your work. You know, it's about marketing and it's about pop and it's about something that hits instantly. And I mean, even something, a show like Ugly Betty, which still does numbers, is really struggling to stay on the air because it doesn't have the same high numbers it had when it first premiered. So when those are the standards, I don't know how anybody can make quality television and keep it on the air long enough for an audience to have, you know, a proper experience. You know, it's the procedurals that are doing really well, the shows that are sort of self-contained, you know, the CSI kind of shows, and not that those are cheap to produce, but they're easier to sell in syndication. I mean, it's really a business. It's really about the windows of where they can sell the show and how the shows can continue to produce money in their lifespan. And viewership is down in general for all mm-hmm. television because now we have other sources of entertainment.
The internet.
And so, you know, I think everybody's trying to answer that question. Do you know? I mean, that is the million-dollar question. It's the billion-dollar question. It's what all the studios are trying to figure out. Look, they want to have programming on that makes the money. You know what I mean? And they have to figure out what it is because at the end of the day, if they don't make money, it doesn't stay on the air. So, you know, I mean, all the networks, all the studios have downsized. Everybody's losing jobs. Shows are going off.
Really?
I mean, NBC, yeah, NBC cut 5 hours of primetime programming for next season. It's going to be Jay Leno from the 10 o'clock hour 5 nights a week, which means 5 less dramatic series, which means 5 less productions, which are hundreds of jobs, not just, you know, the 2 to 20 actors on each episode. But, mm-hmm. you know, the hundreds of people that support those shows as well, the hair and makeup and the lighting and the wardrobe and locations and craft service and, you know, it's all of those jobs. So, you know, it's a snapshot of the whole global economy right now. So, you know, as an actor, you're really left to just kind of hope for better times to come because, unless you have the skills and the connections to produce your own project, you know, you're just waiting for the phone to ring.
Exactly.
And then if you're lucky enough to beat the competition and get the job, then you have to hope that it stays on the air. And then ultimately you don't have any control about the way that it looks, the way that it sounds, the words on the page. You don't have any control over those things, and yet you are the physical representation of the show. So internet sites and blogs and everybody can comment about what works and what doesn't work, and you have no control over it and just hope it continues so that you can pay your mortgage and put food on the table for your kids and, you know, continue some sort of artistic integrity. But, you know, look, I'm no different than an auto worker saying, well, if the factories are closing, what am I going to do now? So, you know, it's I don't want to be all depressing or anything, but...
Well, you know, it is what it is. The television industry took a hit, as everybody else did, you know? So reality TV is the way to go right now.
Well, and I still really fundamentally believe, and I'll, you know, to my dying day, even if I'm proven wrong, I still believe that integrity holds out and that if you make something good... People, you know, build it and they will come. You know, if you make something good, people will find it and see it. And if it, and even if it's, you know, if it inspires something else because it was short-lived and inspired some other show where the actors got another job and the writers got another job or that was a more successful show. I mean, I just think, you know, I'm not going to give up my fight to be as good an actor as I can and tell the best story that I can. And even though I have to literally wait for the phone to ring to have those opportunities to do that.
Right. Well, I think they'll be happy to hear your insight on that. Everybody in the chat room is saying how knowledgeable you are and so factual. You're not depressing.
Okay, good. I don't want to depress anyone.
No, you're not.
I want to be hopeful and happy because, you know, we should all be thinking about what we have and what we don't have, you know?
That's right. Absolutely. You're absolutely right about that. I'm going to throw a Kate question at you. This is from Michelle. Michelle Dargan. She's actually a reporter for the Palm Beach Daily News. She's a good friend of mine.
Very nice.
She wants to just a simple question. In what ways is Megan like Kate, and in what ways is she different from Kate?
You know, Kate is actually one of the characters that's farthest away, I think, from my personality, which is sometimes very challenging for me because, you know, Kate is actually more ambitious than I am. I mean, I'm very ambitious about my work, but I'm not willing to sacrifice personal experiences for it, which Kate chose to do. And I think it was kind of a chain of events. I think once she made one decision and made a second decision, she sort of started on a path that she couldn't go back. So, you know, I'm not confrontational like Kate. I'm not demanding like Kate. I would never be a boss like Kate ever. I would ask pretty please and could you please do something? And I would never, you know, I mean, I'm very different from her that way. But at the same time, I think what the, you know, what we saw with Kate with Sunny was, you know, I always played the Kate and still do, that Kate had great remorse for the choice that she made, that she felt not only did she take herself down a path she couldn't go back, but she also put Sunny on a path where he couldn't go back. And I think she has great empathy and sympathy for characters who are in pain. And that's always been a frustrating story point for me with whenever Kate would have confrontations with other people, and she would have, she would be, you know, their words would be on the page where she would take the other character's pain and rub it in their face, because I would never do that. And I don't think, in essence, Kate would do that either. But I think that what we saw with Kate opening herself up and being, you know, full of the love she had for Sunny and really hopeful that things could be different. And, you know, that is, that optimism is very much about who, you know, very much in me. And wanting to always see the best in people and hoping to change the past. So, you know, I guess that's that.
Right. Well, now let me ask you, with 4 minutes to go here, tell me something about Megan Ward that no one in this chat room or is listening to this knows. Give me a secret.
A secret?
Come on.
I don't know.
Come on, Megan.
I think I'm very forthright. I think I tell a lot about myself. I eat my children's snacks after 9:30 at night. I don't know.
Okay, well, let's do this. Give me a pet
peeve
of yours.
What's that?
That's nonsense. Give me a pet peeve.
I don't know. Slow drivers.
Slow drivers, you said?
Yeah.
One of mine, too.
Pet peeve. Oh, I don't know.
Oh, you just gave
me one.
Those
are hard.
Oh, Megan, please. When you hang up and you go see something, you're gonna say, "Oh God, I could have answered it with that question." I'll give you a pet peeve of mine. I can't stand when my kids with their mouth open. I can't stand with my fork.
Okay, that's good. Okay, so my son uses his shirt as a napkin. Can't stand that. Is that a good one?
Perfect one. You see? Look.
You know I have millions of them. All right.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we all do. We definitely all do. So listen, we only have 2 minutes remaining, and you know what? The Megan Haven board, you guys have been awesome, and I'll tell you right now, you've behaved for the most part, and I'm very proud of you. But what I am going to say is every question that was emailed to me, I have forwarded on. So Megan will get to see them via her publicist, and however she wants to choose to answer them on your chat board, she will do so. So until the next chat, we're signing off. We have 1 minute remaining.
Well, I think that some of them will be coming to my event in July, so I can answer a lot of those then, too.
And there you go. So before I let you go, my darling, I would love for you to do a promo.
Okay.
For Stardish. You can just say, "Hi, this is Megan Ward on Stardish Radio," however you want, whenever you're ready.
Okay, ready?
Yep.
"Hi, this is Megan Ward, and you're listening to Stardish Radio."
Perfect. Now,
yay!
Listen, all of you people that are on hold, you know, you knew 90% of you weren't getting through because there's just not enough time.
Oh, they're so upset.
But you know what? No, they're great. It did go too quick. It always goes quick when it's really, really a good interview. So, and you are a good interview. I wish nothing but the best for you and your
character on
GH. You know that. And you're always welcome back. So when you're ready to entertain these crazy people again, just let me know and I'll be here for you.
I will, Joanne. Thank you.
All right, Megan, best to you. Everyone, don't forget to tune in Monday night. Brooke Newton from Fox's new show, Glee, will be joining me, so don't forget. And until then, we're going to take off now, and everybody have a great night.
Hi, this is Barbara Ellen Woods from One Tree Hill, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Brandon Barash, and thank you for listening to Stardish Radio.